Turn with me to John's Gospel, chapter 8. John's Gospel, chapter 8, and verse 32. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth or practiseth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Verse 40, But now ye seek to kill me, a man hath told you the truth, a man that hath told you the truth. Verse 41, You do the deeds of your father. Then they said to him, We be not born of fornication, we have one Father, even God. Jesus said unto them, If God were your Father, ye would love me. I have proceeded forth and come from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Verse 44, Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. I received recently a card, and I'm going to paraphrase what the card said. As we get older, we can look back and see where we came from, and we can look forward to where we're going, but in the present, we have no idea where we are. We can look back in the Word of God, and we can see where we came from. We enjoyed in the reading meeting so far where we're going. I would like to address a little bit the question of perhaps where some of us at least are. Turn with me to the back, going back, if you will, to Genesis chapter 2. This is where we came from. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 16, And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of... Hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said to the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. And she took of the fruit thereof and did eat. And she gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Now over to chapter 4 and verse 3. And in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel also, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock, and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and unto his offering, but unto Cain and unto his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? As we look at the world about us, and sometimes look at fellow believers, and sometimes look at ourselves, we may find ourselves at times in what Scripture would call bondage or slavery. This world is in slavery, and it has been almost since the beginning of its history. But it doesn't realize it. In Peter, we have man proclaiming, he says, liberty, while he himself is a bond slave of corruption.
Man professes and proclaims liberty to his fellow man and for himself, and he doesn't properly and understand and realize that actually he is in the bond. He's a slave. Corruption. When we look back here in Genesis chapter 1 or 2, when God created us, he created us to be dependent and obedient creatures. If we are walking with the Lord this afternoon, we are walking as dependent and obedient creatures. If we look forward to heaven, we will be there as dependent and obedient creatures. We were born for this. We were created for this. And this is the only path, this is the only way that is consistent with the thought of God. So God, having a creature man, placing him in a garden, he places him there, provides for him his daily food. He had to have it. He was going to be dependent upon God. And so God gives him the food that he needs for his daily life. But God also made known to him that man does not live by bread alone. Having food is not sufficient for the life of a man as God created him. We don't have time to just more than introduce some of the thoughts of this subject, but if we were to trace the children of Israel and their journey through the wilderness, what God tells us why he gave them manna. He said, I'm giving you manna so that you may know that man liveth not by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God shall man live. And so here when he creates man and he puts him in the garden and he gives him his daily food, he also gives him a word that he had to live by. Thou shalt not eat of that tree. That was a word. The Lord Jesus, when he was here as a perfect man, was tested according to that line of things. Only his test was more severe than Adam and Eve's, because Adam and Eve never knew hunger until they sinned. But the Lord Jesus spent 40 days hungering, and then the test came. Would he live by bread alone, or by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God? He, of course, passed the test perfectly. When Satan tempted him, he said, here's bread. He said, no. And he quoted Deuteronomy 8. So here Adam is placed in the garden and he is given this basic principle of life. God provides. We live by his provision and by his word. Satan comes into the garden and he talks to the woman. And she responds, and we won't look at every detail, but in her response, she does something to the word. She changes it a little, and she adds to it a little. It's ever been the way of man since the very beginning. He's to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. But the tendency of man is to change it a little. She said, God said, you shall surely die. She changed that to be lest ye die. She put in a little note of doubt about the outcome. She was concerned that she would die, but it wasn't necessarily sure, so she says lest. She was told she wasn't to eat of it. Well, Adam was told that, and she had the same instruction. But she adds a little to it. She says, no, we're not to touch it. And that's the characteristic of man to this day. He adds a little, he takes away a little, he changes a little to suit himself. Or he doesn't pay attention, and he just doesn't listen, and he doesn't care perhaps enough. We won't get into it because of time, but there's an element of unbelief here too. And the root of sin starts with unbelief. And the seeds of unbelief grow here. But Satan comes. He doesn't just add a little, change a little, but he lies. He flat out lies. God said, you shall surely die. Satan says, you will not die. And man is faced with the choice. Do I believe God or do I believe Satan? Man makes the choice. He says, I'm going to do what Satan has told me. Notice what the woman does in verse 6. The woman saw that the tree was good for food. Was it? Yes, it was. Pleasant to the eyes. It was a pleasure to her eyes. Was it? Yes, it was. It was desirable to make one wise. Was it? Yes, it was. It was desirable. It was pleasurable.
It was good. So she took. It's been the same way ever since. It's been the same way of every person that's sitting in this room. This is what man lives by today. He looks at something and he says, it's good. Or he looks at it and he says, there's pleasure in that. Or it's desirable. I'm going to gain something from it. And he takes. And he dies. He dies. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Lives in this world today are lived from first to last. To the eye, it's good. It's a pleasure. It's desirable. And he takes. But what's the result? It's death for every man. In Adam, all die. But something else comes into it, and we see the time that passes with Cain. Cain gets angry with God. He's plain mad at God. Ever seen anybody angry with God? Have you ever been angry with God? I dare say you have. Deep anger with God. Why? Why? That anger is what the Bible calls animosity. This world is an animosity, God. The world has an anger with God. Man wants to live by what he sees to be good and desirable and pleasurable. And God steps up and says no to something that man wants. And he gets angry in his soul with God. We learn the secret, perhaps, of something of what's going on here in 1 John chapter 3, where we get things in their root and we won't turn to it, but Cain slew Abel, it says, because Abel's deeds were righteous and Cain's were wicked. That's why the world slew the Lord Jesus. Because his deeds were righteous and the world's were evil. There's an animosity in the heart of man toward God that the world lives by. Because God stands, as it were, against what man wants. And Cain looked at his brother Abel as a reflection of the righteousness of God. Because God is righteous. And he sees Abel, and Abel acts righteously before God. And Cain is acting wickedly before God. And so that anger toward God is also toward that which represented God to his eyes. The good that was in a fellow man toward God. A man who had faith toward God and acted according to the word of God rather than man's own imagination and the fruit of his cursed earth. Abel was wicked in what he did. He took the very thing that God had cursed and he turned around and offered it to God. And God can't accept that which is cursed from man. That, especially that which God has cursed. And so it's refused and it's a wicked work, God says. In fact, he tells us in 1 John it comes from Satan. It was an act of a liar. And he rises up to kill his fellow man. It's been ever since. If a man acts according to God today, is this surprise? The Lord says that the world would hate him, hated me. And so that which represents me and my character is hateful. Do you go on with the world in your life? Is that what characterizes your life? If you do, you act with it in animosity to God. Friendship with the world is enmity to God. That's the picture in the Old Testament, but just to keep on with the outline, turn with me to Romans chapter 7. In Illinois, there is a common saying seen on signs put there by the state of Illinois. I don't know, maybe it's in Iowa or Ohio or Indiana too. It is, fasten your seatbelt. It's not an option, it's the law. On the way over here, I saw a bumper sticker that said, 186,000 miles per second. It's not an option, it's the law. I don't know how many recognize the truth of that statement. That's the speed of light. And it's a law of nature that light travels at 186,000 miles per second. Saw recently a comment that the radius of the known solar system, or the not solar system, but the known universe is 56 billion
light years. In other words, if you could travel 186,000 miles a second for 56 billion years, you'd be out toward the end of God's creation. Pretty big. That's not our point here. Romans 7 gives us the law of the nature of mankind. We find in it, and we don't have time to go through it as a chapter, but notice it says, verse 15, "For that which I do I allow not, for what I would, that I do not, but what I hate, that I do." It's a law of human nature in Adam after sin. That is, how many times have you said in your life, "I don't want to do, I'm not going to do that again," and you did it. And you said, "I won't do that again," and you did it. And you've kept on doing it, perhaps, in your life. That's what's said here. You're not, and I'm not, as human beings, in the condition of what the Bible calls in flesh, which we'll talk about in a few minutes. It's not our mind that has the ultimate say in how we act or behave. This person's mind, and even unsaved people's mind, here it's a good mind, but even natural man, he says, "That's bad. I'm not going to do it." But he does it. And keeps on doing it. And the truth of the matter is, it's the law of the way he is. Verse 23. "But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind," that's the flesh, "bringing me into captivity to the law of sin." It's something different than the flesh, which is in my members. When Adam and Eve sinned, evil, a principle, a law of evil, entered into their members, their body. And it's been in every person since. That evil, called sin, is also called lawlessness. It is an evil that doesn't pay any attention, doesn't have any desire to whatever God says in the Word of God. It is simply lawlessness. It's the principle of, I want my own way regardless, and I'm going to have it. There's something else involved in it too, which is equally important and bad. It's the principle of lust. It is that thirst to have something that puts everything else aside to have. Even if it's bad. Even if it's bad. When Eve saw the fruit, it was good. It was pleasurable. It was desirable, and it was sin because it was disobedience. But once that came into man's condition, the flesh says it's good, it's desirable, it's pleasant, it's pleasure. I do this, I do that, I go here, I work there, I spend my time with this or that or the other, because it satisfies, and that's my flesh. Even if my mind says no, it's disobedience, my flesh says yes, I'm going to do it. But man now is such a condition that everything is corrupted. Because what's good in him through sin is even evil. What's pleasure is often pain. What's desirable is often in truth undesirable, because Satan manipulates him by lie to take what should be good and make it bad and so on. And he has in him the law of lust, of sin. And when it comes to decision making, his flesh follows the law of sin that is in him. Never the law of good. Never the law of good. And so the world feeds on sinful desires and wastes itself without fruit toward God. Many, many believers put their trust in the Lord Jesus and will go to heaven. who seem never to lose or make judgment of what self is. And so, in very subtle ways, the flesh really controls even a Christian's life sometimes. So that, what's wrong with it? It's good. There's nothing evil in it. It's pleasure. It's not this or that bad. They may see not the subtlety of the sin that's there, but just the flesh working. I want it. It's desirable. I need it. How can I be happy without it? Eve thought she'd be happy. What does God say? If a person lives before they're saved in that condition, they're called in flesh. That's what man is. He's looked at in Romans, in flesh. And his life is lived in flesh. And part of that flesh and part of the consequence of that flesh is enmity with God. God, why do you keep me from this or that? Why do you make my conscience bother me? And in fact, what's happened with mankind is he doesn't even want to know the truth. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. And so we live in a world that intentionally, purposefully goes to darkness, lest the light shine on him and bother him, because his deeds are evil. The only way for anybody to be set free is by death. That is the only way you will ever, or I could ever be set free, is through death. You must die. If you live, you will be, according to the laws of your nature, as it now is in flesh, and with evil in your members, and you're about to die, it says. The only possible way for anybody to live in fellowship with God today is by first death. That's why Romans teaches us that. Christ died for my sins. Christ died, put sin away. That's the root of it. Even the words, we apply it in the gospel, and quite properly, the wages of sin is death. But in truth, that verse in its more significant meaning is not the wages of sins is death, but the wages of the root, what the root produces, is death. But God wants to deliver us from it through death, and the Lord Jesus died unto sin, this nature that we have, the sin in our nature. He died to it. And Paul tells us, you died with him. He rose from the dead, and now you're to live in newness of life. We have to die. We have to die, and we have to apply practically that death to ourselves. And in the scripture, we don't have time to go there, but it's practically applied in picture form, when the children of Israel left Egypt? No. When they crossed the Red Sea? No. That's more the death of Christ for us. But when they left the wilderness and they crossed the Jordan River and they were circumcised, that's where they applied the death practically to their lives. And it was painful. The practical application of the truth is painful in this regard, because it involves spiritual circumcision that's found in Colossians 2. Take a knife to the flesh, as it were, has to be cut off. Colossians says, if you be dead with Christ, if you be risen with Christ, then what? Then you put off the old man and you put on the new. Because it's the practical application of it. It's the putting it off and the putting of it on. If I don't, then I'll live according to the flesh, even if I'm not in it. In Romans chapter 8, where it sets us free, verse 2. The law, new law. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. We've talked about the law of sin and the law of death, and every person has experienced it. The law of sin and the law of death. What sets us free? the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. God steps in grace and says, that life is worth nothing. I condemn sin in the flesh. It's condemned. It's worthless. In Adam I'll die. But I'm going to give you the life of Christ. And that's, you need power too. You can't live it just because you have right desires. And so I'm going to give you the Spirit. And the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus sets us free from the law of sin and death. God says, I'm going to bring you into my family. And the life of my family, I'm going to give you the life, and it's perfect love. It'll set you free from yourself and your self-occupation and living according to the flesh, and will give you something that will satisfy that life, the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said, for me to live is Christ. He found his perfect satisfaction of his life in the person of the Lord Jesus and occupation with him. And he was set free from the eye of self, and he was at liberty. Liberty to obey. The Lord Jesus said in John 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. He loved his Father, and as a perfect man, he kept his Father's commandments. And the new man says, oh, I want to obey. It's not lawlessness. It's not the spirit of, I want it because it's good, because it's pleasurable, because it's desirable. That's not what controls it. I come to do thy will, O my God. I delight to do thy will, O my God. It isn't, is it good? Is it pleasurable? Those aren't questions for the new man, really. It's only thy will, O my God. Set free from that lawless character that says, I want my way. I don't want to submit. Why? And so on. And so this law of the Spirit in life in Christ Jesus has set me free. Verse 7, that carnal mind is enmity with God. It's not subject to the law of God. It cannot be. That's the way it is. They that are in flesh, verse 8, cannot please God. But then he says, ye are not in flesh, but in spirit, if so be the Spirit of God dwell in you. And then he goes down to another thought. Verse 15, you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Oh, what a wonderful thing to enjoy the truth in the soul. I'm a child of God. God is my Father. Not just I am a child by adoption, by God's choice, but I'm also a child with the nature of the Lord Jesus. The very character of God. Conformed to the image of his Son. By self-occupation, by saying, oh, boy, I want that. No. The new man looks at the Lord Jesus and revels in him. He's taken up with him and says, that's the satisfaction of my soul. We all, beholding as in an open glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image, even as from glory to glory. The heart, unconsciously to itself, who enjoys the Lord Jesus, is changed by God to be like him and to reflect his person to fellow man. What a wonderful calling, brethren. I just encourage you to, we need a Savior, we have him. We need a Deliverer, we have one. A Deliverer from ourselves, who through death, takes us through it and delivers us and gives us life, gives us the spirit of life. Every single action and motive of the Lord Jesus Christ as a man on earth was governed by the Spirit of God to do the will of God. And he's the only one that's ever lived that properly lived as a man. And now it's put before us, and God says, that's your place. It's not, I will deliver you someday, but my desire for you is to enjoy deliverance today. Not just the future when your body's changed, but he said, I want you to enjoy it today and walk in it today. Is there conflict in that life? It's a life of liberty, yes, but there's also conflict. As it says in Galatians 5, I think it is, so that ye should not do the things that you desire. He's talking about being led by the Spirit, and it's, he's acknowledging that there's still flesh there, and the flesh doesn't change. It's the same desires that Adam and Eve, well, Eve had, they're expressed in Genesis. They're still there. They always will be in this life. But he says, by the Spirit, you don't do even the things that you desire. Long as you live here, you'll see things that look good. And the flesh wants them, even if it kills you. You will see things here that are desirable, that the flesh will take if it's in control instead of the Spirit, and it'll kill you. And so with that which is pleasurable, it kills if it's not according to God. So may the Lord help us. Let's just pray.